Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, owner and user of Mint Mobile with a special holiday message. If you sign up now for 3 months, you get 3 months free on every one of our plans, even unlimited. Now, I realize this is more of a holiday offer than it is a holiday message, but if you read between the lines, you can see a message in there. It says we love you. Visit mintmobile.com/switch for the offer.
Limited time, new customer offer. Activate within 45 days. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. Unlimited customers using more than 40 gigabytes per month will experience lower speeds. Video streams at 480p. See mintmobile.com for details.
Hello, somebody. This is Nina Turner, and I want to tell you about Power Hour with yours truly, Nina Turner, the new weekly program I'm hosting for TYT. Every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, I'll be bringing the heat for an hour filled with power. We'll speak truth to power, we'll talk about how to fight the power, and we'll plan how to leverage the power that we the people have. This show is for TYT members only, but for a limited time, we'll be making the first half an hour available to everyone, then the second half an hour just for members. For access to the full show, be sure to sign up for TYT membership at tyt.com/join today.
All right, welcome to one of our new shows is the new show. It's Our Power with Nina Turner. Look at this. You got a nice new background too, Nina. Great to see you.
Yeah. Loving it. Good to see you too, Cenk. Wonderful.
All right. That looks good. Okay. Guys, I'm going to tell you big picture what we're going to do here, and then we'll talk about this week. Okay. So, big picture is Nina and I are going to have conversations where we talk about, how do we acquire power as progressives, and then how do we use it? So that's why we've got a segment at the end of this show called "What Would Nina Do?" And that's about, in this case, is about Joe Manchin and Joe Biden and their interaction, and what would Nina do if she was in Biden's position? Because we've never had progressives in power, and no one ever asked us either, right? So here we're asking. And we want to know what she would do. But look, that segment is really interesting, both for political stuff, but later we're going to take your suggestions. And you can start it today, right? And we take member comments as well about different questions you could ask Nina about what would Nina do. And it could be anywhere from serious to lighthearted. We're also every week going to do story of the week, and we're going to do heroes and villains. I'll set up the story of the week for you guys in a second. But Nina's picking the story of the week. She's picking the hero and the villain. And so, Nina, I just basically looking forward to this conversation with you all week to get your thoughts on all these, without necessarily the grind of the news of the day, but more like sit back and go, okay, big picture, look at all this.
Absolutely. And the fact that this is for the members, the people who really make it all happen, it just gives my heart such great joy. So I am so excited to do this with you and to do this with them.
Yeah, absolutely. They make a lot of stuff happen. All right, so let's get started. Let's talk about the story of the week. So you thought it was on the issue of the Haitian immigrants, and we've been covering it all week. We covered it today. And Nina, obviously there was the reins that the guys on the border agents were using on the horses. There's the fact that Biden is flying them out of the country and expelling them without even giving them a hearing like Trump. And so now, don't worry though, Nina, Jen Psaki says that they've banned horses on the border, so that should probably fix it. And then meanwhile, the Republicans are yelling at him saying, you're not being mean enough to Haitians. And some of them are getting to stay in the country, and that's unacceptable because they're replacing who they won't say. But so there's a lot to talk about there. So let's start with the Biden reaction, the Biden administration reaction. They say, oh no, it's okay, those images were horrific and horrible, but we fixed it with the horse thing. Are you buying what they're selling?
No, not at all. I mean, it's factual that black immigrants in particular are treated differently. They're treated there in the carceral system at higher rates than any other immigrants, deported at higher rates. And you know what? None of us should be surprised by that, because it really mirrors the treatment of African Americans in this country. To say that it is horrific and then at the same time not use the power to make the change, it is not just them being on the horses and using the reins to whip at the Haitian migrants. It is also the fact, the historic nature, the triggering, if you will, of seeing those images, the looks on the faces of those men who were on the horses, who actually work for the government, showed a very, not just indifference to what the Haitian migrants are enduring, but also, you know, hatred in their eyes, the way that they talk to them. All of those things invoke images and feelings about what African Americans have endured and continue to endure in this country to this day. And one, you know, I got a chance to interview the intergalactical intellectual himself, Dr. Cornel West, and the conversation. And I definitely recommend any of the members, if you missed that interview, go back and watch that interview as Dr. West and I go back historically to link why history matters to what is happening to the Haitian immigrants. So it's not just enough to say it's horrific, we're going to take away the horses. What policy changes is this administration going to enact? And the crisis of immigration certainly did not start with the Biden administration. We all understand that. But the Biden administration has an opportunity to have comprehensive immigration reform, and also has the opportunity to change the culture, because this is about the culture in that department that came shining through when it came to the Haitian immigrants and how they are being treated.
Yeah, and Nina, I just, look, let's, all of a sudden when we have black immigrants, the whips come back out. It's just, yeah, it's stunning, because we're already terrible to brown immigrants. But like, when it became black immigrants, it was instantly worse.
And that's,
and,
right.
And the replacement theory talk on Tucker Carlson among Republicans, there's this guy here, I don't know if I can find it in my notes, Brian Babbins or some other, or Bilbo Baggins or something, Republican came out today, US congressman, talking about the replacement theory. Like, no, that's just flat out white supremacist talk. And
yeah,
and Nina, I mean, it went on hyperdrive the minute they were black. It was just, it was amazing to look at.
But it is, and that's why, you know, being able, I mean, us having this conversation with members, people have to deconstruct their construction. First of all, we got to be willing to admit that we have a anti-blackness crisis in the United States of America, whether it's domestic or black people in the diaspora itself, of which Haitians are one of those. Listen, this is just about what port black people's ancestors got dropped off at. That's really what this is about. And you're absolutely right. The response by people who work for the government to the Haitian migrants is stunning. You know what, Jink? Let me, I got some notes here too. Let me throw some numbers out here. So according to the Census Bureau, American Community Survey, in 1980, there were about 816,000 black immigrants. By 2000, the number of black immigrants in the country had risen to 2.4 million. Now, we get this. Immigrant people are want to come to this country for various reasons. There are push and pull factors in life. We know that they just had another horrific hurricane. Haiti can't catch a break. Their president was assassinated. And you hear some of the migrants say, we are coming here because we want a better life. No different than the folks that were on Ellis Island who had the benefit of seeing a Statue of Liberty. But let me keep going. Black immigrants account for a disproportionate number of criminal-based deportations. 76% of black immigrants are deported on criminal grounds compared to 45% of all immigrants. Now, we can go on and on. What's the moral of the story? S&T, the moral of the story is this, is that we have a problem in the United States of America, and it is systemic. It is not just about one individual, it's about the system itself. And so for the Biden administration or any representative to say, oh, it was horrific, as if, Jink, they don't have the power, is disingenuous, and I'm being kind when I say that.
Yeah, I want to get to the policy in a second, but I can't help but be continually shocked at how different black folks are treated in this country. It's a poison. And it's a cultural poison that we cannot seem to shake. Because, so I'm a brown immigrant, and I'm Muslim, it's not like we're beloved, right? But man, it is materially different for blacks. So it's not like Mexican and Guatemalan immigrants were, you know, welcomed with open arms in this country, not at all, right? But see, I didn't know the stat you read, right? So when they see black people, they see criminals. God damn it, if you're black, like what can you do about it? And it's never been true. It's never been true. It's been the exact opposite.
And look, that's it. But,
yeah, okay. Go ahead.
No, I mean, no, you're right. It is the exact opposite. Enslaved people, stolen from their land, brought here to work for free, generation after generation. Then even the Constitution could not protect. 13th, 14th, 15th Amendment, the Civil War Amendment still were not enough to do something about Jim Crow, you know, black codes, Jim Crow, not enough. And then, you know, redlining, we don't even have to go back to, you know, the 19th century, 18th century, 17th century. We don't even have to go that far back. Let's even look at 2008 by way of example to show that there is a mindset in this country, whether it's domestic black people or immigrants from another country when it comes to black people. Gee, black folks lost over 50% of their wealth during the Great Recession. 50% of their wealth in their homes. Now, a lot of poor people were hit because most Americans, middle class or close to middle class, their wealth is their greatest asset is their greatest debt. But for the African American community, compounding factors. Look at how black men are incarcerated and black women. Look at overwhelmingly over the population, you know, our representation in the population. So when I read the stats about how black immigrants are treated that way, and you look at the stats of incarceration of black people, particularly black men, you see those things go hand in hand. People see black and they lose their ever loving mind. It is how we have been socialized in this country, and we must deconstruct. That means on purpose, our construction. Different mindset must happen.
Yeah. Every time I think about it, it makes my blood boil. And it makes me want to say, look, keep it real. It makes me want to say things about white folks. And of course, we're not going to do that because it isn't true. We're all the same, okay? But you can't enslave people to do free work for you and then call them lazy. No, you can't do that. You just can't. If you do that, then I'm going to lose my mind. And then we're going to have.
That's it.
Right, we're gonna have issues, right? I mean, they have a stereotype that Mexicans are lazy. Has anybody ever met a Mexican? Okay, I mean, it's just, and then you whip people, lynch people and kill them, and then you call them violent. No,
that's it.
No, we can't have it. And look at all of the violence done.
The whole American experiment has been rooted in violence. Starting with the taking of the Native Americans' land, it's all been rooted in violence. And until we have the courage in this country to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly, we're gonna always see images like this. We're always gonna repeat moments like this, whether it's domestic or internationally, because there's a disdain and an indifference, Jane, an indifference to black lives. Hence, black lives matter.
Yes.
If people don't understand why that movement had to happen, this is just yet one example of many that we can give. Black lives matter.
Yes.
I want folks to stand with me. Black lives matter too, T-O-O. Don't treat us like that.
100%. And so look, I'm gonna say one more about the big picture and then I wanna turn to Biden policy. And it applies to black Americans here, but also to the entire country of Haiti, because the same thing happened. So Nina mentioned redlining. To give you guys a sense of it, right now, an average white family in America has more than 10 times the wealth of an average black family. And so now, why is that? So the number one driver of accumulated wealth in America is our houses. Okay, yeah. By an order of magnitude, it's bigger than everything else, okay? And so when they did redlining, they would both not allow African Americans to get loans in certain areas to be able to buy a house, and they were relegated to certain areas, which then had depressed housing prices. And then I had a guest on the conversation that says they're still doing it in Ohio, where it's not redlining per se, but what they discovered when they looked at the data and when they looked at the evidence, that it was a white Democratic official in Ohio who uncovered this. They're still valuing the property of blacks at the same property level, less than whites in Ohio today. But then that literally robs them. It robs them of the value of their homes. When they go to sell it, it's appraised at a lower number. And I said, well, that could cost somebody $10,000, $20,000. He said, no, Cenk, on average, it's in the hundreds of thousands. And so you take that money from people, and then you say, oh yeah, you see that, they're poor. Oh my God. And in Haiti, they led one of the earliest slave rebellions, and the Western nations punished them for it. That's why they're poor. It was basically a de facto blockade of that island, or at least of Haiti. And I always wondered, Nina, until I did more of the research on it, why is Haiti a little bit poorer than Dominican Republic, right? Because they're right next to each other. And it turns out the answer is because all the Western nations treated Haiti differently than even the Dominican Republic, because they had done a slave rebellion and they wanted to discourage that. Oh.
Right, that's right. Toussaint Louverture and Dr. West and I talked about the fact that Haiti ended up having to pay France back.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
In what warped world do the enslaved, the put upon, have to pay the slavers and imperialists back?
They robbed Haiti. Madness. Yeah, they robbed Haiti of its natural resources that they were doing through slavery to begin with. And once slavery ended, they said, now you owe us all of your money. Every dollar can get out of Haiti, and France suctioned it out of there and left. That's why
Haiti's
they're
been raped. That country raped, period.
But look, this is not just about America, and it's unfortunately a global phenomenon. America had this culture of slavery here that has lasted, that has done great damage. But France should do reparations for Haiti. Massive, massive reparations for Haiti.
Agreed.
For what they've done.
Agreed.
So let's go to Biden's policies. And guys, we're gonna take your comments throughout the show too, if I could ever calm down. Look, they're flying people out without giving them a chance to prove that they should get asylum. They're continuing Trump's policy due to COVID, they claim, of not giving people hearings. One of our members earlier in the show made a comment about, didn't Biden criticize Obama during the campaigns when Obama was being called deporter in chief? And now it looks like he's back to doing the same, if not worse. So talk to me about your thoughts on their policies and what they should do differently.
They have the power to change the policy. I mean, we allow people who are elected to office, whether it's the federal level or the local level, and all the levels in between, to talk about these issues as if they are powerless. They make the policies. So even if they didn't make the said policy right in this moment, if they're continuing a policy, let me back it up. They have a power to change the policy. Policies are created by policymakers, and you can change the policy. And especially on the administrative side, you have lots of avenues to be able to do a new and different thing. We don't have to repeat the mistakes of the past. They need to change the policy by working with the Congress. We need comprehensive immigration reform. And in the meantime, in between time, because we can't get the democratically controlled Congress to do much of anything when it comes to the people here in this country, let alone anybody else. In the meantime, in between time, the administration has the power to control the departments that answer to them. We need more judges on the border, Cenk. We need more judges. They're overwhelmed. And you hear some folks who are, who work within the departments talk about how they've been asking for more help, hire some more people, get some more administrators and judges and other folks to help process, hear people's story. Don't let people just suffer there. And if you've seen any of the pictures, the level of squalor that we are subjecting people to who are just trying to come here for a better life. Let's utilize the process that we have. Let's create a different process. And for the love of God, let's get comprehensive immigration reform in the United States of America. And you know something, that you don't have to wait for the Congress? Get your folks that work for you under control so they're not treating Haitian immigrants, migrants, like dogs. Worse than dogs. How about that?
Yeah.
It's about saying to people who work for you, this will not be tolerated on horseback, on bicycle, on tricycle, on skateboard, or roller skates. You will not treat people like this. They are human beings who deserve to be treated with respect and have the opportunity to go through our process.
Yeah, you said it eloquently and well, so I'll make it worse by saying you will not do it on a boat, you will not do it on a goat. But they've changed nothing. All they did was take the horses out and put in tricycles or whatever the hell they put in. The policy is the same exact thing. And it's funny because I didn't know what you were gonna say, Nina. And the number one thing I used to say in the Trump days as to what to do with the border was more judges. And Trump, in response, not to me, but into that concept overall, said, I don't know what we need judges for. We shouldn't have any judges. And the reason we say more judges is because that means you can go through the legal process. And by the way, you could do it more efficiently, you could do it quicker. It doesn't mean you let people in, it means you give them a fair hearing. And so the only way to give that number of people a fair hearing, so you're not automatically expelling them, which is, by the way, illegal under international law, but Biden's doing it anyway, as Trump did it. And so at the same time, and not take everyone in, the answer is a fair hearing. That's what's required by law, that's required by conscience. And the only way to do that is to send more resources there, but not more resources in terms of weapons or walls, but actually what we're supposed to do in America, which is have a decent justice system that adjudicates this. So,
I'm stuck on this. I really am. It's beyond sad. But you know what? Because them brunch folks, the folks that couldn't wait to get back to brunch, if Trump were doing this, if he was the one doing this, they would be crying bloody murder. But we hear not a mumbling word, or maybe just a peep out of a few people. But other than that, they're turning away. They're looking the other way. They want to pretend like this is not happening because it's happening under an administration that they happen to like. It doesn't matter. This is not about who you like. This ain't about like or dislike. This is about right or wrong. And the Democrats are supposed to be the party that was willing to do a new and different thing. But I guess when it comes to black immigrants, it's business as usual.
Yeah. I mean, if you didn't care about morality or anything else, I don't know if the Democrats know this, but it was black voters that put them in charge. And
hello, somebody.
Yeah. And
yeah.
But they're still serving their white donors. If we're being honest, that's what's happening. So.
And Jake, look, while we own that part, let's talk about the fact that George Floyd Policing Act seems dead. They allow Senator Manchin to introduce a watered down version of voting rights.
Yep.
When the For the People Act and the John Lewis Voting Rights Act, more comprehensive, would deal with dark money and some other matters that we need to attend to in this country if we are going to have anything that mirrors a democracy. So black folks are the loyalist base of the Democratic Party, and they can't even get the George Floyd Act or the For the People Act or the John Lewis Law. Jesus, Mary, and what's going to happen in 2022, Jink? I mean, seriously, they're going to come back knocking and begging black people to deliver yet again, and we can't even get the basics.
Yep.
People's hair should be on fire. You know, I had a boss who once said, if your hair is on fire, act like your hair is on fire. And damn it, my hair is on fire, Jink. This is unacceptable.
Meanwhile, we're having bullshit conversations about the parliamentarian. Are you kidding me, man? Are you kidding me? So you're saying at the best case scenario is Biden is saying, I care more about Senate tradition than I care about the voters. and black voters for sure. And that's a sick thing to say. And the Senate tradition, by the way, was racist to begin with. Filibuster was used almost exclusively against civil rights, including anti-lynching votes to block anti-lynching laws. All right, look, I'm gonna go to the members here because so many of you wrote in, and I want to make sure that we're sharing with you guys. And then we'll go to the hero of the week. Okay, Warlock wrote in, Nina Turner on a Nina Turner show. Oh man. Yes, well, you guys made that possible, so thank you. JVP wrote in, interested in Nina's take on progressives taking over feckless local Democratic organizations. We'll come back to that maybe in this show and certainly in other shows for sure. Tina says, tell that truth, Nina. Those images triggered the F out of me as a black woman. Biden lost my vote support and not ever getting it back. So, but Nina, you know, we're constantly forever stuck in this conundrum because if Biden then runs in 2024 and he wins the primary and Trump runs, God damn it, we're back to Trump versus Biden. There's no winning there. And so
we need to, I'm tired of picking the lesser two evils, Cenk, really, seriously, I am.
I believe in primaries, that's all.
Absolutely.
Okay. Nobody's ever gonna vote for Trump, but I believe in primaries. All right, Kelly O'Hara said, she's the woman with the power, the woman of the hour, no need to feel so sour, shouted from the tower, hello somebody. That's pretty good. It's pretty good.
That could
be on the graphics for the show. That was really good, Kelly. Trigger Incarnate writes in, just a thought, guys. The Border Patrol is thoroughly infested with right-wing extremists. So could that incident, as well as the picture taken, have been set up in order to make the Biden administration look bad? We've never seen anything like that before in modern times.
No, we have.
Yeah. I just say real quick, guys. We have seen things like that, unfortunately. I don't think it was a setup in that sense, but the core of what you're saying is correct, that there's tons of right-wing extremists in there. And so when the Biden administration afterwards said, oh, we have really good people at the border and this is not part of our culture, I'm like, what are you talking about? They're the same guys that was under Trump. It's not like you hired a whole bunch of new people. And that goes to Nina's point earlier about the brunch crowd, right? That's the same people they were saying were awful a minute ago, and now we're saying, oh, no, they're fine because they're under Trump. It makes no sense, under Biden, I should say. Yeah. Smurfy says, the level of inequality of the education system is the only beginning of the knee on the throat. So look, I'll read the rest later, but it's an uncomfortable topic, but I'm gonna go back this one last time, Nina, for today, okay? So when I was in Charleston on a trip, I went to a plantation. And it was very interesting and really.
Hi, icons. It's Danny Pellegrino from the pop culture podcast, Everything Iconic. And I love Nordstrom. No place better to shop, particularly during the holiday season, because they have everything. They have holiday decor at Nordstrom. They have cozy cardigans from Barefoot Dreams, my fave. They have cold weather attire, party attire, plus free shipping and free returns, free store pickup. You can also purchase a recycled fabric gift bag so your item arrives festive and wrapped. So check out Nordstrom this holiday season, a one-stop shop. You can explore more at Nordstrom in store or online at Nordstrom.com.
Important to know, we did a story coincidentally a couple months after I had gotten back from that trip of a white conservative woman, I think it was actually a couple people on those same tours, complaining that they were not giving enough credit to the slave owners on those tours. I was like, oh my God. Anyway, the reason I brought it up here is because of the comment about education. Because what really struck me was the most important rule on the plantation was that the slaves not be allowed an education. That they must not be taught to read and write. And it's interesting too, because they said, now remember they're inferior to us and they're just property, but don't teach them how to read and write. Why, what happened? Why I thought they couldn't handle it? Why are you so worried about them reading and writing, right? And because that's how you keep people down.
That's right. Education is freedom. And they knew in their heart of hearts that Black people were equal to them. But in order to keep a rotten system going, you got to convince yourself and also the people that you enslaved that somehow they are inferior. If they were so inferior, then you wouldn't worry about them learning how to read because they would be incapable of learning how to read. You want to talk about big lie? There's several big lies and they knew it. Also, why would you have people who are inferior watching your kids? Who's supposed to be your greatest asset?
Yeah.
Suckling your kids, raising your kids. Hello. It makes absolutely no sense. So they knew exactly what they were doing. And it was to continue to perpetuate and hold up a system in order to rob the lifeblood of the enslaved. But guess what? Even the slavers didn't escape. And make no mistake about it, very few Black people actually owned slaves. So you got poor white people being convinced that somehow their whiteness makes them superior, even though they catch in hell because a system of enslaved people doing most of the labor hurt free, poor white people. So the system was horrible for poor white people, just not as horrible as being enslaved generation after generation after generation, and then being told as white people, no matter your economic status, that your whiteness makes you superior. Try to feed your kids off of superiority.
Yep.
And so the same system is being perpetuated today just by another name. It's incarceration, it's redlining, it's the wealth gap, it's the education gap.
Yep. We get so wrapped up in these that I don't know that we're ever going to make it through a whole show. But I do want to give one shout out to Twitch here, actually a couple. Progressive Methods gifted 100 subs. That's amazing. Obi-Mom Kenobi gifted 25 subs. That's amazing. 25 more. But the reason I brought it up is Consume Shroom said, didn't Larry Elder suggest slaves should pay reparations because the owners lost property? Facepalm. Just a slight correction. No, he said maybe the slave owners should get reparations. He didn't necessarily say from the slaves. But that's just amazing. We talked about it before, but everyone, they pay some people in certain groups to say outrageous things that makes right-wing racists feel better. So that talking point is, it's not the slaves who should get reparations, it's the slave owners. And that's right. What happened in Haiti, and that's what destroyed that country. And so I'm done with them. All right, let's move on.